19. Expert judge of time and circumstances. Krishna was very expert in dealing with people according to circumstances, country, time, and paraphernalia. How he could take advantage of a particular time, circumstance, and person is expressed by him while talking to Uddhava about his Ras dance with the gopis. He says, quote, "The most opportune time is the full moon night in autumn, like tonight. The best place within the universe is Vrindavan, and the most beautiful girls are the gopis. So, my dear friend Uddhava, I think I should now take advantage of all these circumstances and engage myself in the Ras dance." Unquote. 20. Seer by the authority of the scriptures. A person who acts exactly according to the tenets of scripture is called Shastra Chakshus. Shastra Chakshus means one who sees through the eyes of the authorized scriptures. Actually, any man of knowledge and experience should see everything through these books. For example, with our naked eye, we perceive the sun globe simply as some glaring substance. But when we see through authorized books of science and other literature, we can understand how much greater the sun globe is than this earth, and how powerful it is. So seeing things through the naked eye is not actually seeing. Seeing things through the authorized books or authorized teachers is the correct way to see. So although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and can see all that is past, present, and future, to teach the people in general, he used to always refer to the scriptures. For example, in Bhagavad Gita, although Krishna was speaking as the supreme authority, he still mentioned and quoted Vedanta Sutra as authority. There is a statement in Srimad Bhagavatam wherein a person jokingly says that Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, is known as the seer through the Shastras. In order to establish his authority, however, he is now engaged in seeing the gopis, whereby the gopis are becoming maddened. 21. Pure. There are two kinds of supreme purity. When one type is possessed, one is able to deliver a sinful person. When the other type is possessed, one does not do anything which is impure. A person who possesses either of these qualities is called supremely pure. Krishna is both. He can deliver all sinful conditioned souls, and at the same time, he never does anything by which he can be contaminated. In this connection, Vidura, while trying to detach his elder brother Dhritarashtra from his familial attachments, said, quote, "My dear brother, you just fix your mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, who is worshipped with beautiful, erudite verses by great sages and saintly persons. Krishna is the supreme deliverer among all deliverers. Undoubtedly, there are great demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, but their positions as deliverers depend always upon the mercy of Krishna." Unquote. Therefore, Vidura advised his elder brother, Dhritarashtra, to concentrate his mind and worship only Krishna. If one simply chants the holy name of Krishna, this holy name will rise within one's heart like the powerful sun and will immediately dissipate all the darkness of ignorance. Vidura advised Dhritarashtra to therefore think always of Krishna, so that the volumes of contaminations due to sinful activities would be washed off immediately. In Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna is addressed by Arjuna as Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram, the Supreme Pure. There are many other instances exhibiting Krishna's supreme purity. 22. Self-controlled. A person who can control his senses fully is called vashi, or self-controlled. In this connection, it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, quote, all the 16,000 wives of Krishna were so exquisitely beautiful that their smiling and shyness were able to captivate the minds of great demigods like Lord Shiva. But still, they could not even agitate the mind of Krishna in spite of their attractive feminine behavior. Unquote. Every one of the thousands of wives of Krishna was thinking that Krishna was captivated by her feminine beauty, but this was not the case. Krishna is therefore the supreme controller of the senses, and this is admitted in the Bhagavad Gita, where he is addressed as Rishikesh, the master of the senses. 23. Steadfast. A person who continues to work until his desired goal is achieved is called steadfast. There was a fight between Krishna and King Jambavan, and Krishna was to take the valuable Syamantaka jewel from the king. The king tried to hide himself in the forest, but Krishna would not become discouraged. Krishna finally got the jewel by seeking out the king with great steadfastness. 24. Forbearing. A person who tolerates all kinds of troubles, even though such troubles appear to be unbearable, is called forbearing. When Krishna was residing at the place of his spiritual master, he did not mind taking all troubles in rendering service to his guru, although his body was very soft and delicate. It is the duty of the disciple to execute all services unto the spiritual master, despite all kinds of difficulties. The disciple living at the residence of the spiritual master has to go begging from door to door and bring everything back to the spiritual master. When prasad is being served, the spiritual master is supposed to call each and every disciple to come eat. If by chance the spiritual master forgets to call a disciple to partake of the prasad, it is enjoined in the scriptures that the student should fast on that day rather than accept food on his own initiative. There are many such strictures. Sometimes also Krishna went to the forest to collect dry wood for fuel. 25. Forgiving. A person who can tolerate all kinds of offenses from the opposite party is known to be forgiving. Lord Krishna's forgiving quality is described in the Shishupal Vada, in connection with his forbidding the killing of Shishupal. King Shishupal was the monarch of the Chedi kingdom, and although he happened to be a cousin of Krishna's, he was always envious of him. Whenever they would meet, Shishupal would try to insult Krishna and call him ill names as much as possible. In the arena of the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhishthir, when Shishupal began to call Lord Krishna ill names, Krishna did not care and remained silent. Some of the people at the arena were prepared to kill Shishupal, but Krishna restricted them. He was so forgiving. It is said that when there is a thundering sound in the clouds, the mighty lion immediately replies with his thundering roar. But the lion doesn't care when all the foolish jackals begin to make their less important sounds. Sri Yamunacharya praises Krishna's power of forgiveness with the following statement. Quote, my dear Lord Ramchandra, you are so merciful to have excused the crows clawing on the nipples of Janaki simply because of his bowing down before you. Unquote. Once Indra, the king of heaven, assumed the form of a crow and attacked Sita, or Janaki, Lord Ramchandra's wife, by striking her on the breast. This was certainly an insult to the universal mother, Sita, and Lord Ramchandra was immediately prepared to kill the crow. But because later on the crow bowed down before the Lord excused his offense. Sri Yamunacharya further says in his prayer that the forgiving power of Lord Krishna is even greater than that of Lord Ramachandra, because Shishupal was always in the habit of insulting Krishna, not only in one lifetime, but continually throughout three lives. Still, Krishna was so kind that he gave Shishupal the salvation of merging into his existence. From this we can understand that the goal of the monist, to merge into the effulgence of the Supreme, is not a very difficult problem. Persons like Shishupal, who are consistently inimical to Krishna, can also get this liberation. Grave. A person who does not express his mind to everyone, or whose mental activity and plan of action are very difficult to understand, is called grave. After Lord Sri Krishna had been offended by Brahma, Brahma prayed to him to be excused. But in spite of his offering nice prayers to Krishna, Brahma could not understand whether Krishna was satisfied or still dissatisfied. In other words, Krishna was so grave that he did not take the prayers of Brahma very seriously. Another instance of Krishna's gravity is found in connection with his love affairs with Radharani. Krishna was always very silent about his love affairs with Radharani, so much so that Baladev, Krishna's elder brother and constant companion, could not understand the transformations of Krishna on account of his gravity. 27. Self-satisfied. A person who is fully satisfied in himself, without any hankering, and who is not agitated even in the presence of serious cause for distress, is called self-satisfied. An example of Krishna's self-satisfaction was exhibited when he, Arjuna, and Bhima went to challenge Jarasandha, the formidable king of Magadha, and Krishna gave all credit to Bhima for the killing of Jarasandha. From this we can understand that Krishna never cares at all for fame, although no one can be more famous. An example of his not being disturbed was shown when Shishupal began to call him ill names. All the kings and Brahmins assembled at the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Yudhishthir became perturbed and immediately wanted to satisfy Krishna by offering nice prayers. But all these kings and Brahmins could not discover any disturbance in Krishna's person. 28. Possessing equilibrium. A person who is unaffected by attachment and envy is said to possess equilibrium. An example of Krishna's equilibrium is given in the 10th canto, 16th chapter, verse 33 of Srimad Bhagavatam, in connection with his chastising Kaliya, the hundred-headed serpent. While Kaliya was being severely punished, all of his wives appeared before the Lord and prayed as follows, quote, "Dear Lord, you have descended to punish all kinds of demoniac living creatures. Our husband, this Kaliya, is a greatly sinful creature, and so your punishment for him is quite appropriate. We know that your punishment for your enemies and your dealings with your sons are both the same. We know that it is in thinking of the future welfare of this condemned creature that you have chastised him." Unquote. In another prayer it is said, quote, "My dear Lord Krishna, best of all the Kuru dynasty, you are so impartial that if even your enemy is qualified, you will reward him. And if one of your sons is a culprit, you will chastise him. This is your business, because you are the supreme author of the universes. you have no partiality. If anyone finds any partiality in your characteristics, he is surely mistaken. Unquote. Magnanimous. Any person who is very charitably disposed is called magnanimous. When Krishna was reigning over Dwarka, he was so magnanimous and charitably disposed that there was no limit to his charity. In fact, so great was his charity in Dwarka that even the spiritual kingdom, with all of its opulence of Chintamani or touchstone, desire trees, and Surabhi cows, was surpassed. In the spiritual kingdom of Lord Krishna, named Goloka Vrindavan, there are Surabhi cows which give unlimited quantities of milk. There are desire trees from which anyone can take all kinds of fruits, as much as he may desire. The land is made of touchstone, which when touched to iron will transform it into gold. In other words, although in the spiritual kingdom, the abode of Krishna, everything is wonderfully opulent, still, when Krishna was in Dwarka, his charity exceeded the opulences of Goloka Vrindavan. Wherever Krishna is present, the limitless opulence of Goloka Vrindavan is automatically present. It is also stated that while Lord Krishna was living in Dwarka, he expanded himself into 16,108 forms, and each and every expansion resided in a palace with the queen. Not only was Krishna happily living with his queens in those palaces, but he was giving in charity from each palace an aggregate number of 13,054 cows completely decorated with nice clothing and ornaments. From each of Krishna's 16,108 palaces, these cows were given daily. This means that 13,054 multiplied by 16,108 cows were being given in charity by Krishna every day. No one can estimate the value of such a large number of cows given in charity, but that was the system of Krishna's daily affairs while he was reigning in Dwarka. Religious. A person who personally practices the tenets of religion as they are enjoined in the Shastras, and who also teaches others the same principles, is called religious. Simply professing a kind of faith is not a sign of religiousness. One must act according to religious principles, and by his personal example, he should teach others. Such a person is to be understood as religious. When Krishna was present on this planet, there was no irreligion. In this connection, Narad Muni once addressed Krishna jokingly, quote, "My dear Lord of the cowherd boys, your bulls are the representation of religion, while eating grass from the pasturing ground and moving on their four legs, have certainly eaten up all the grass of irreligion," unquote. In other words, by the grace of Krishna, religious principles were so well cared for that hardly any irreligious activities could be found. It is said that because Krishna was constantly performing various types of sacrifices and was inviting the demigods from the higher planetary systems, the demigods were almost always absent from their consorts. Therefore, the wives of the demigods, regretting the absence of their husbands, began to pray for the appearance of Lord Buddha, Krishna's ninth incarnation, who appears in the age of Kali. In other words, instead of being pleased that Lord Krishna had come, they began to pray for Lord Buddha, who is the ninth incarnation, because Lord Buddha stopped the ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices recommended in the Vedas in order to discourage animal killing. The demigods' wives thought that if Lord Buddha appeared, all kinds of sacrifices would be stopped, and thus their husbands would not be invited to such ceremonies and would not be separated from them. Sometimes it is inquired, why don't the demigods from higher planetary systems come to this Earth planet nowadays? The plain answer is that since Lord Buddha appeared and began to deprecate the performance of sacrifice in order to stop animal killing on this planet, the process of offering sacrifices has been stopped, and the demigods do not care to come here anymore. And now chapter 22, Qualities of Krishna Further Explained. Tribhuvane Manam Saranyakana Nana Shastra Vicharane Kanikana Saddharma Samasthapaka Lokanam Hitakarinam. 31. Heroic. A person who is very enthusiastic in military activities and expert in releasing different kinds of weapons is called heroic. Regarding Krishna's heroism in fighting, there is the following statement, quote, my dear killer of the enemy, just as the elephant, while taking bath in the lake, destroys all the lotus stems within the water by swinging its trunk, so simply by moving your arms, which are compared to the trunks of elephants, you have killed so many lotus-like enemies. Unquote. Regarding Krishna's expertise in releasing weapons, when Jarasandha and 13 divisions of soldiers attacked Krishna's army, they were unable to hurt even one soldier on the side of Krishna. This was due to Krishna's expert military training. This is unique in the history of military art. 32. Compassionate. A person who is unable to bear another's distress is called compassionate. Krishna's compassion for distressed persons was exhibited when he released all of the kings imprisoned by Magadendra or Jarasandha. While dying, Grandfather Bhishma prayed to Krishna and described him as the sun which eradicated darkness. The kings imprisoned by Magadendra were put into dark cells, and when Krishna appeared there, the darkness immediately disappeared, just as if the sun had risen. In other words, although Magadendra was able to imprison so many kings, upon the appearance of Krishna, they were all released. Krishna released the kings out of his sincere compassion for them. Krishna's compassion was also exhibited when Grandfather Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows which had been shot through his body. While lying in this position, Bhishma was very anxious to see Krishna, and thus Krishna appeared there. Upon seeing the pitiable condition of Bhishma, Krishna began speaking with tears in his eyes. Not only was he shedding tears, but he also forgot himself in his compassion. Therefore, instead of offering obeisances to Krishna directly, devotees offer obeisances to his compassionate nature. Actually, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is very difficult to approach him. But the devotees, taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. 33. Respectful. A person who shows adequate respect to a spiritual master, a Brahmin, and an old person is to be understood as being respectful. When superior persons assembled before Krishna, Krishna first of all offered respect to his spiritual master, then to his father, and then to his elder brother Balaram. In this way, Lord Krishna, the lotus-eyed, was completely happy and pure at heart in all his dealings. 34. Gentle. Any person who neither becomes impudent nor exhibits a puffed-up nature is called gentle. The example of Krishna's gentle behavior was manifested when he was coming to the arena of the Rajasuya sacrifice arranged by Maharaj Yudhishthira, Krishna's older cousin. Maharaj Yudhishthira knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he was attempting to get down from his chariot to receive Krishna. But before Yudhishthira could get down, Lord Krishna got down from his own chariot and immediately fell at the feet of the king. Even though Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he never forgets to show social etiquette in his dealings. 35. Liberal. Any person who is, by his natural behavior, very mild, is called liberal. A statement by Uddhava after the Syamantaka jewel plundering confirms that Krishna is so kind and favorable that if a servitor is accused even of great offenses, Krishna does not take this into consideration. He simply considers the service that is rendered by his devotee. 36. Shy. A person who sometimes exhibits humility and bashfulness is called shy. As described in the Lalita Madhava, Krishna's shyness was manifested when he lifted Govardhan Hill by the little finger of his left hand. All of the gopis were observing Krishna's wonderful achievement, and Krishna was also smiling at seeing the gopis. When Krishna's glance went over the breasts of the gopis, his hand began to shake, and upon seeing his hand shake, all of the cowherd men underneath the hill became a little disturbed. Then there was a tumultuous roaring sound, and they all began to pray to Krishna for safety. At this time, Lord Balaram was smiling, thinking that these cowherd men had been frightened by the shaking of Govardhan Hill. But seeing Balaram smile, Krishna thought that Balaram had understood his mind in observing the breasts of the gopis, and he immediately became bashful. 37. Protector of surrendered souls. Krishna is the protector of all surrendered souls. Some enemy of Krishna's was enlivened with the thought that he needn't fear Krishna because if he simply surrendered unto him, Krishna would give him all protection. Krishna is sometimes compared to the moon, which does not hesitate to distribute its soothing rays even on the houses of the Chandalas and other untouchables. 38. Happy. Any person who is always joyful and untouched by any distress is called happy. As far as Krishna's enjoyment is concerned, it is stated that the ornaments which decorated the bodies of Krishna and his queens were beyond the dreams of Kuvera, the treasurer of the heavenly kingdom. The constant dancing before the doors of Krishna's palaces was not to be imagined even by the demigods in the heavenly kingdom. In the heavenly kingdom, Indra always sees the dancing of the society girls. But even Indra could not imagine how beautiful were the dances being performed at the gates of Krishna's palaces. Gauri means white woman, and Lord Shiva's wife is called Gauri. The beautiful women residing within the palaces of Krishna were so much whiter than Gauri that they were compared to the moonshine, and they were constantly visible to Krishna. Therefore, no one can be enjoying more than Krishna. The conception of enjoyment is beautiful women, ornaments, and riches. And all of these were fabulously present in the palaces of Krishna, defeating even the imagination of Kuvera, Lord Indra, or Lord Shiva. Not even a slight distress can touch Krishna. Once, some of the gopis went to the place where the Brahmins were performing sacrifices and said, quote, "Dear wives of the Brahmins, you must know that not even a slight smell of distress can touch Krishna. He knows no loss. He knows no defamation. He has no fear. He has no anxiety. And he does not know calamity. He is simply encircled by the dances of Raja and is enjoying their company in the Ras dance." Unquote. Well-wisher of his devotees. It is said of Krishna's devotees that if they offer even a little water or a tulsi leaf in devotion to Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu is so kind that he will sell himself to them. Krishna's favoritism toward his devotees was exhibited in his fight with Bhishma. When Grandfather Bhishma was lying at the point of death on the bed of arrows, Krishna was present before him, and Bhishma was remembering how Krishna had been kind to him on the battlefield. Krishna had promised that in the Battle of Kurukshetra, he would not even touch a weapon to help either side. He would remain neutral. Although Krishna was Arjuna's charioteer, he had promised that he would not help Arjuna by using any weapons. But one day Bhishma, in order to nullify Krishna's promise, exhibited his fighting spirit so magnificently against Arjuna that Krishna was obliged to get down from his chariot. Taking up a broken chariot wheel, he ran toward Grandfather Bhishma as a lion runs toward an elephant to kill it. Grandfather Bhishma remembered this scene, and he later praised Krishna for his glorious favoritism toward his devotee, Arjuna, even at the risk of breaking his own promise. 40. Controlled by love. Krishna becomes obliged to the loving spirit of the devotee and not exactly to the service rendered. No one can serve Krishna completely. He is so complete and self-sufficient that he has no need of any service from the devotee. It is the devotee's attitude of love and affection for Krishna that makes him obliged. A very nice example of this obligatory behavior was manifested when Sudama Vipra went to Krishna's palace. Sudama Vipra had been a class friend of Krishna's, and due to his poverty, he was induced by his wife to see Krishna to request some aid. When Sudama Vipra reached Krishna's palace, Krishna received him very well, and both he and his wife washed the feet of Sudama Vipra, showing respect to the Brahmin. Remembering his loving affairs with Sudama in their childhood, Krishna began to shed tears while receiving him. Another instance of Krishna's obligation to his devotee is described in the 10th canto, 9th chapter, verse 18 of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Shukdev Goswami tells King Parikshit, quote, "My dear king, when Mother Yashoda was perspiring, tired of trying to bind Krishna up with rope, Krishna agreed to allow her to bind him." Unquote. Krishna as a child was disturbing his mother by his naughty activities, and she wanted to bind him up. Mother Yashoda brought some rope from the house and tried to tie up the child, but she could not tie a knot due to the shortness of the rope. She tied together many ropes, but when she finished, still the rope was too short. After a while, she felt very tired and began to perspire. At that time, Krishna agreed to be bound up by his mother. In other words, no one can bind Krishna by any means other than love. He is bound only by obligation to his devotees because of their ecstatic love for him. All auspicious. A person who is always engaged in auspicious welfare activities for everyone is known as all auspicious. After the disappearance of Lord Krishna from this planet, Uddhava began to remember the activities of the Lord and said, quote, Krishna satisfied all great sages by his wonderful pastimes. He demolished all of the demoniac activities of the cruel royal order, protected all pious men, and killed all cruel fighters on the battlefield. Therefore, he is all auspicious for all men. Unquote. 42. Most powerful. A person who can always put his enemy into calamities is called powerful. When Krishna was present on this planet, just as the powerful sun drives all darkness to take shelter in caves, he drove away all of his enemies who fled like owls to take shelter beyond his sight. 43. All famous. A person who becomes well known due to his spotless character is called famous. It is stated that the diffusion of Krishna's fame is like the moonshine, which turns darkness into light. In other words, if Krishna consciousness is preached all over the world, the darkness of ignorance and the anxiety of material existence will turn into the whiteness of purity, peacefulness, and prosperity. When the great sage Narad was chanting the glories of the Lord, the bluish line on the neck of Lord Shiva disappeared. Upon seeing this, Gauri, the wife of Lord Shiva, suspected Lord Shiva of being someone else disguised as her husband, and out of fear, she immediately left his company. Upon hearing the chanting of Krishna's name, Lord Balaram saw that his dress had become white, although he was generally accustomed to a bluish dress. And the cowherd girls saw all of the water of the Yamuna River turn into milk, so they began to churn it into butter. In other words, by the spreading of Krishna consciousness or the glories of Krishna, everything became white and pure. 44. Popular. Any person who is very dear to people in general is called a popular man. As for Krishna's popularity, there is a statement in the first canto, 11th chapter, verse 9 of Srimad Bhagavatam that deals with his returning home from the capital of Hastinapur. While he had been absent from Dwarka at the Battle of Kurukshetra, all the citizens of Dwarka had become morose. Then, when he returned, the citizens joyfully received him and said, quote, Dear Lord, while you were absent from the city, we passed our days in the darkness of night. As in the darkness of night, every moment appears to be a long duration of time. So while you were gone, every moment appeared to us like millions of years. Your separation is completely unbearable to us. Unquote. This statement shows how popular Krishna was all over the country. A similar incident occurred when Krishna entered the arena of sacrifice arranged by King Kamsa for his death. As soon as he entered the place, all the sages began to cry, Jaya, 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 which means victory. Krishna was a boy at that time, and all the sages offered their respectful blessings to him. The demigods who were present also began to offer beautiful prayers to Krishna. and the ladies and girls present expressed their joy from all corners of the arena. In other words, there was no one in that particular place with whom Krishna was not very popular. 45. Partiality to devotees. Although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is therefore not partial to anyone, it is stated in Bhagavad Gita that he has special attraction for a devotee who worships his name in love and affection. When Krishna was on this planet, one devotee expressed his feeling in this way, quote, "My dear Lord, if you had not appeared on this planet, then the asuras or demons and atheists would have surely created havoc against the activities of the devotees. I cannot imagine the magnitude of such devastation prevented by your presence." Unquote. From the very beginning of his appearance, Krishna was the greatest enemy of all demoniac persons, although Krishna's enmity toward the demons is actually comparable to his friendship with the devotees. This is because any demon who is killed by Krishna receives immediate salvation. 46. Very attractive to all women. Any person who has special qualifications becomes immediately very attractive to women. A devotee made the following statement about the queens of Dwarka. Quote, "How shall I describe the glories of the queens of Dwarka, who were personally engaged in the service of the Lord? The Lord is so great that simply by chanting his name, all the great sages, like Narad, can enjoy transcendental bliss. So what can be said about those queens who are at every moment seeing the Lord and serving him personally?" Unquote. Krishna had 16,108 wives in Dwarka, and each and every one of them was attracted to Krishna, just as iron is attracted by a magnet. There is a statement by a devotee, quote, "My dear Lord, you are just like a magnet, and all the damsels of Russia are just like iron. In whichever direction you are moving, they are following you, as iron is attracted by magnetic force." Unquote.